What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the channel. Today is the first episode of my new show called Fishy Business, where I bring on your favorite creators and talk more about the business side of YouTube. Today, we're joined by Dan from the YouTube channel Dan the Turtle Man. He posts fun and educational content about turtles and has fun with his various species of reptiles and his ecosystem backyard pond. He started his channel in 2011 and has grown it to over 13,000 subscribers and has gained over 1.2 million channel views. Let's give a big round of applause for Dan. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. It's just so weird hearing like the actual numbers and not reading them. I'm like, oh, that's like not nothing.
Right?
It's just strange to me, yeah.
No.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for being the first guest on the show.
To break the ice.
Break the ice. So you have grown your channel to over 10,000 subscribers, and you have been doing YouTube for a long time, but without me getting too deep into it, would you mind telling the people a little bit more about your channel?
Sure. So I started it in, like you said, 2011, when I was a child, literally like, I think it was 12. How long ago was that? 10 years? I was 11 years old, just filming my guppies and my fish and whatnot, because that's what sort of led me into keeping reptiles and turtles and whatnot. And so I started getting serious about everything about 3 years ago when I got into college. I started actually trying to put more effort into my videos. And then I started consistently uploading once a week, I think a couple months ago, maybe 8 months ago. And so since then, I've been uploading once a week, twice a week for about 2 months, but now I have to go back to once a week because of school. So, yeah.
So this is just off to the side, something I didn't have planned, but let me know if I'm mistaken, but your channel name was like Dan the Guppy Man.
That is correct.
Am I right
some
about that?
Yes, that's correct. Some of those links are still Dan the Guppy Man for my Patreon. It's still patreon.com/DanTheGuppyMan, because I need to look into changing it, but I tried changing something and it wasn't working out well. So I just, the title says Dan the Turtle Man,
right?
But some of the links say Dan the Guppy Man, and that's because in 2011, I was a child, I was like 12 years old, and I put Dan the Guppy Man because I kept guppies. I kept and bred them. I had a 20-gallon community tank, and then I would pull out the pregnant females, put them in a 5-gallon tank, let them pop all those suckers out, and then take the female, put her back in the tank, and then put the babies in a 10-gallon. And I had like this whole operation going. I had over like 200 fish going at one time. It was fantastic. And so as I sort of evolved with the hobby and whatnot, I got into turtles. And I just thought, you know, about 3-4 weeks ago, it was time for the name change. Unfortunately, I wanted to do like a whole big name change and change all the links and do everything overnight. I did as much as I could, but I was hoping to get merch out and whatnot. But things are very hectic right now, as you know. You know, I have school and whatnot. Everything's online. So I was hoping to get Dan the Turtle Man, all the merch and whatnot. But that's going to wait. So it used to be guppies. Now it's turtles. Some of those links and things might not match up, but that's me.
Right. Yeah, no, I was just wondering because I remember watching you when it was Dan the Guppy Man, and then I see Dan the Turtle Man. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's just branding more into turtles and then started off with guppies, so it makes sense.
Yeah, changed the logo from a guppy to a turtle, like all that fun stuff. Yeah, it was great.
So some people like to wonder if there's ever like little hacks to YouTube. Do you use any like online or physical tools or gadgets, or what softwares are you using to create and improve your videos?
So I use Final Cut Pro. I started on iMovie. That was not working out too well. It's not, I couldn't do as much as I wanted to. Right. The main thing was putting text on the screen. You could only use their like little title slides, and I couldn't deal with that. So I got Final Cut Pro 10 and just learned like just all, and I'm still learning, you know, something that used to take me days and days to make one subpar video. Now I can crank out in about 6 hours or so.
Right.
And so, you know, I use Final Cut, which was very helpful. Some people use Premiere. I'm not that advanced. I used to use my phone for filming, but I have a camera for my school that I use now, like a Sony Rebel T7i, I think it is, which is great. Makes the quality like 4K for people who want to view it super HD and see all my pores and whatnot. But other than that, I used to just use my phone. So as far as anything that I purposefully used to gear towards YouTube and get it all kickstarted and whatnot, I just use my phone and just learn to edit, and everything has evolved over time. My camera's gotten better. My thumbnails, I hope, have gotten better. You know, the editing, I try to make more fun, and I have an easier time doing it. So nothing right off the bat that I just, you know, got going, but it was just a slow evolution.
Right. So if you started posting YouTube, like your same niche of content that you do now, but you started like right now, 2020, what are some things or strategies that you would do differently compared to more when you started?
It's hard to say. I don't know if I would change style much. It depends. That's a tough one, because a lot of what I do now is because I've had the experience of what I did previously, and you just can't know until you've spent that time doing. So the best thing that you can do is get started and find that niche and find where you're sort of fitting along. I'm still looking for it. I still try to upload, you know, fun, different stuff and see, you know, see what sticks. Because a lot of the times, on one half, I like to do these fun pond videos, like sort of like the, you know, the Paul Cafaro type videos, those like little vloggy editing stuff. And then at the same time, I like appealing to like the pet tube side of YouTube. Like, here's how to take care of your turtles, and here's what you should be doing for them, and here's how I do everything on a budget because I'm broke, like, and just slowly, you know, wheeling and dealing and figuring out how to utilize Craigslist and Marketplace and all these things to like fund yourself. It's kind of, I get way off topic, so feel free to stop me at any point, but for people that want to start now, just start. And I've had two friends, you know, who have contacted me, and now they've begun uploading again because they asked me, you know, what do I do, how can I make my thumbnails better, my content better? Say, like, cut out the dead space, put some outline yourself for some the topic in the thumbnail, put on some text, make sure it looks good, use Canva. God bless that website. I use that for all my thumbnails.
Really?
You're set. Oh yeah. I use a Photoshop like ripoff to like cut things out, be it a turtle or me or whatever. And then I use that to outline them. And then I delete the background, upload it to Canva, and then Canva lets me move everything around and compile everything. So, yeah.
Now, growing over 10,000 subscribers is a big milestone. What would you say is one of your like number one keys to success, or keys to successes for getting consistent views on your channel?
It's hard to say because I don't, you know, it's sort of taken a hot minute to get to where I am, and I don't how do I put it? It's hard for me to consider myself like, oh, I've made it, I've done it, because in my mind, I will never have made it. It's the next number, the next thing. I could be at a million, and I'm sure that, you know, now I say, oh, 100,000, and I'd be set. I'll be like, wow, I made it, I did it. Yeah. But once I'm in that seat, I'm going to look and say, 100,000, that's it, you know, that's it. This is not enough. I got to go for a million. I got to go for 500,000. I got to go for 5 million, whatever it is. And so looking back, I remember when my goal was 1,000. And now that I'm well above 10,000, it's just, it's strange to me. So I wouldn't in my mind say like, oh, I made it, I did it, I've done it. And the views still are not that terrifically consistent. YouTube has not been nice. Sometimes my views go down and whatnot, but I just keep them out, keep consistent, keep uploading, you know, because one day all it takes is one video to blow up and you have a whole new wave of people coming in. And if not, it's just fun. You know, I enjoy doing it. You have to like doing it and be consistent with it and just do everything that you can and leave the rest up to the little ones and zeros that decide which videos get pushed.
Right. Yeah. So by creating videos, as we've kind of gone into, we've all had our ups and downs. What would you say has been, failure is a harsh word, but a failure or like a regret that you've had or something you would change during your time as a creator?
hard. As far as videos go, or like my turtle keeping goes,
probably like either or, because like some of your viewers could see to where, you know, some care thing may not be right, to where then they all hate on you for the next two videos, and then you're like, oh, I should have changed that, or a little bit of both.
Okay. As far as videos go, I have not regretted uploading anything. I think I keep everything up because I like people to see where you can come from. Mm-hmm. And if my stuff was not as high quality, or I gave inconsistent information in the past, which, I mean, everything that I've said in the past, I still believe in today, which is why I wouldn't want to give out any false information unless there was something that was totally, totally wrong. You know, I'd go back and change it maybe, or put a little asterisk or whatnot. But as far as any, I mean, failures, I haven't put out anything that really garnered a lot of hate, to be honest. I have not, and I've been surprised about that, because, you know, as fish keeping goes and keeping animals, you're always going to have people who are just, this is wrong, you're doing this bad, you abuse turtles, like, you're the worst, I hate you. I've really not gotten a lot of that. So I don't think I've had many YouTube, like, videos where I've been upset with what I uploaded. I've loved, honestly, I can say that. I wish there was something where I was like, yeah, that video sucked, that got me a lot of hate, like, I got some slack for that. But I don't say anything that I don't believe in. So I stand by everything that I've gotten. Oh, my tubs versus tanks. People, I've gotten a lot of controversy on that. They're like, you just hate fish tanks. I'm like, I don't like them for turtles. What can I say? Which is ironic because my next setup is going to be a tank for my hatchlings, which people don't know yet. I alluded to in my last video. But as far as that goes, yeah, I got nothing. A low point keeping the animals was when they all got sick. And I think that was probably the worst. They all got sick. I was having issues with the pond. The views were down. It was not great. And so I just made one video that was like, things suck right now. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't fun as far as fish keeping, but or turtle keeping, whatever. I keep both. But yeah, I don't think there's anything that I've strongly regretted or look back and been like, that sucked. All
right. Well, I guess you can't complain about that.
Yeah. I can't. I wish that I could say I'm not trying to say like, oh, my life's great, like everything's wonderful. Yeah. There's tough times. I mean, my last three videos were performing the last, because YouTube lets you rank, you know, your last 10 videos, and it'll tell you how it's performing as far as views go. And so my last three, besides the last one that I put out, or the last three or four, performed 10, 9, and like 8th. And like that, just a mixture between those, like they did horribly. And I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. Like, that's fine. Just keep it cranking out.
Yeah. There's always next video.
There's always, and that's part of why I started uploading twice, actually, because I said, you know, it sucked sitting there for a week, seeing my video, just all the numbers are down. Right. So worst case scenario, just get something else out there.
Okay. So a lot of people would love to do YouTube as a full-time job. Are you doing YouTube full-time? And if not, would you want to? Because some people just like it as a side hobby. Or are you taking any steps into making YouTube full-time?
I am. I am trying to go full-time, but I'm technically part-time, but I wish I could. That would be fantastic. If all I have to do is edit and film and whatnot, that would be great. I would love that. To be honest, though, I would not do it full time and rely on that solely as my source of income, because it is so volatile and you never know. And all it takes is one thing or a group of people to come and hate on you and not like you. You're done for. Your whole channel's crashed, you know? And so, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, I would like to, but I think I would keep it as something on the side unless I'm, you know, a couple million subscribers, those guys just making ridiculous amounts of money. You sort of just got to cash in on that while you've got the momentum. But I think that it still leaves time for other businesses, other hobbies, other organizations that you want to start, because that's sort of the route that I'm going. Mm-hmm. If this really starts to take off and I start making really good money from it, the plan is to get an organization going, something, find out how best to use that for a facility or something. I have an idea that would be like the most ridiculous thing, sort of similar to, do you know Ty Park?
Yeah.
Down in Florida, similar to like an Iguanaland type spiel, but like a little different. So that was just like, you know, if I'm making stupid full-time YouTube money, like where I would just channel it into and make something awesome and just have all my turtles and everything there.
Right. So going more into partial analytics, but some people's first big analytic milestone maybe to start monetizing your content, putting ads on your videos. Are you monetizing your videos, and what are some other ways that you are earning money or monetizing through your content?
Okay, so yes, and I finally remember reaching that milestone. I actually hit that maybe 2 years ago, and then YouTube changed up the rules. So I was making like 10 bucks a month, 20 bucks a month. I'm like, okay, not bad. And then they said, oh, we're changing our rules. You need 1,000 subscribers. I'm like, oh, come on. So I hit 1,000 subscribers, and for another 4 months, I still didn't get ads because YouTube chooses whether to put, that makes you eligible, but they're not necessarily going to put ads on those videos. So I think I still have a screenshot in my phone where I clicked on my video and an ad came up, and I was so excited. I'll go ahead and put, you know, ads through on longer videos, but I don't purposefully extend them or shorten them or whatever to get more ads going. Patreon has been the biggest help by far because my YouTube revenue is just all over the place. So for example, it was, you know, well above whatever. I don't like to talk too much numbers, but I like hit above a certain threshold, and now it's down. I'm looking at it right now. From what it was 2 weeks ago, it's down like 50, 60 something dollars per month, which is kind of significant. So it's down like, you know, 20, 25%. It's kind of significant. That's why Patreon has been the best thing to help me supplement sort of monthly. And then hopefully the next business side is more merch or something that, right, that I can come out with something that people actually enjoy and like, and also the YouTube membership thing, which is basically like Patreon but on YouTube. That's the next step. I just haven't gotten a spare minute to like set that up and really go for it.
So have you gone for earning money? Have you gone into using Amazon affiliate?
I have not. Isn't that where someone buy something that you suggest and then you get a little kickback?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Like nope. For me, I started one time, and you have to, you basically using your Amazon account. You get to use the Amazon Associates link and website to where you can pick your products. Like say I make a video on how to make a beginner turtle tank, and then I link all the products down below. I use a special link because otherwise they don't really know where it came from. And then, yeah, so you can get anywhere up to highest being like 10% of the sale, or sometimes it can just be a few percent. But that's been pretty recently it did well. One of my YouTube friends bought their Canon M50 using my affiliate link, to where I got 5% of that. So that was $25. And then sometimes it can be just bigger things. Someone wants to use your exact setup because they trust you, and then they buy everything. So then they spend however much all your products were. And then that's just been one big, not big, but it's recently done pretty well for me. And
yeah,
all you have to do is, it's not, doesn't seem, you know, super silly, because yes, you are trying to make a little extra income, but you also want them, your audience, to know what products you use, you know, because they'll trust you more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to be honest, I have some spare time today. I forgot that existed. I'm going to go through and do that on all of my videos, because a lot of the time I try to help people save money and whatnot, and try to tell them, you know, just buy a tub from Tractor Supply rather than a 110 gallon aquarium, or just buy this or check Craigslist for this. But that there are plenty of items that I just can't live without, and right, that I trust. And I never recognized how easy it would be to just go in the description, just get what Dan gets, because I wish that someone did that for me, to be honest. I remember watching YouTubers and being like, I want that exact thing. They're like, no, you can stray from that. And it's like, no, but I want what you use, especially for heat bulbs, heaters, filters, things like that. I need to start doing that, because my filters, my heaters, the most important things I usually get from Amazon or some fake plants or whatnot. That's an excellent idea. So after this, I'm probably going to link up some of my favorite things, some of my favorite filters, heaters, whatever, and go and put them in the description. That's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just quickly going further on, is what I'll do is I'll in like the more top after I put description of the video. So pretty much near the top, I'll put products I used in this video, and then I'll do that. And then in the description of every video, I'll have further down of either my camera equipment or just products that, you know, I use in like every video, the best all around canister filter or the Fritz dechlorinator, which is like the only pond dechlorinator that I use, stuff like that, to where you'll put just a few things you can put in every video, to where if someone finds it and they're like, oh, okay, I want to check that out, it may not have been in the video, but it's just like a few key essentials.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, especially for some of my heat lamp videos. People want to know, you know, what bulb do you use exactly? Right. So I'll probably, I like that though. Use like, here's some of my essentials, and then here's like actual products that I used in the video. Yeah, that's a great idea. I got to go. That's time that normally I wouldn't have, but now it's weekend, thank God. So in each video, I know what video it is, I know what content I made. I know what habitats I show off just from the thumbnail. So I know all the equipment on each thing. So I'll probably throw all that in a little Google Doc and just go through and change it all, because I've always wondered what to put in the description. I'm like, why do these people have Amazon links from here to here? Like, what is that? I totally forgot that existed.
All right. Well, going a bit further into like monetization, one part I think is really a key point. We kind of talked a little about it earlier into monetization, is CPM and RPM. So for you guys watching who may not know, your CPM is like an average of how much advertisers are going to be paying you per average of maybe 1,000 views. And then your RPM is how much goes back into like the creator's pocket after YouTube takes their around 45% of that. So I feel it's very important, because some people may not understand that different niches and different creators get different CPMs. So Dan, of course you don't have to share exact numbers, but maybe just CPM numbers, because maybe just somewhere around the range of maybe what someone like you in the pet industry's CPM is like, or maybe like as a high you've had. It doesn't have to be now, but if you could maybe just share some of that.
Yeah, for sure. To be honest, I had no idea that existed. So I can scroll through and try to find it. But I had that idea, and I knew that they paid some people more than others, depending on what their content is. But I assume that it'll be high, because for pet things, that's, people like to watch it. People will binge it. Right. You know, it appeals to keeping people on the website, how YouTube runs their website. So I would assume that it's probably higher, because it's most of the time family friendly. Like, there's, you know, almost no swearing or bad things or adult language or whatnot that's in that video. Would that be, let me check under analytics,
because yes, it's analytics and then revenue.
Okay. Yeah, because I had no idea that I'm learning so much today. There we go. What is a high CPM? I don't know. It says 10.
$10 for CPM?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So mine's pretty much exact same, just cents off. Okay. But so
a lifetime.
I watched an interview recently to where someone in the finance industry, of course, they may not get as many views, but they had a CPM of $66, which is basically
one of
the highest. Like this one YouTuber interviewer where I heard it from, he of course does YouTube and knows a lot of other YouTubers. That's like one of the highest that he's ever seen. And then, you know, gamers, like some gamers he's seen that even have like a good viewership, their CPM is only a couple dollars, to where then in their pocket, they're only making $2 or $3 every 1,000 views. And then the good average is, I probably would say, is somewhere between $8, $9 to $15 is like if you're in the middle, because I'd say gaming gets, depending on who you are, gets a lower CPM, depending on who you are. And then finance, of course, you're going to get a higher CPM. And I feel like pets is right here in the middle. So it's pretty good, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, that's 60 something. That's insane.
Yeah.
And a lot of the issue is, you know, the whole adpocalypse occurred. Like, it used to be way better, way high, like everyone was making nearly the same thing and whatnot. And now it's just the fact that Google has sort of come in, taken over YouTube, revamped everything. You know, 5 years ago, the adpocalypse, everything started getting censored and whatnot and all of that fun stuff. But I mean, the highest that I see is, but it's only on like certain days,
right?
Like 20, which I think that's good. But yeah, I never really looked into this. I need to be a little bit more business smart, to be honest, because I'm not always, and I sort of need to stay on top of that. And I wish I had time to devote. That's why I started rebranding, looking into merch and whatnot. And I want to keep up with that, but it's just difficult because right now, if you saw my last video, I tanked one of my exams and it's just very difficult. It's computer programming. It's all different kinds of crazy stuff. So I need to devote the time to that for now until I can keep putting more into this.
Okay. So one key to generating more views is having a good thumbnail, which I've seen you sort of recently switch your thumbnail style up a little bit, and I do it a good amount. So trying to find a good style, but what are some more thumbnail tips or strategies that you have seen that have been key for you?
Okay, so there's a couple different kinds that do well, and it's always difficult figuring it out. Because some thumbnails that I think are trash, those videos do the best. The one that I was most surprised about, not just because of the thumbnail, but because of the content, because who cares, was me in my college dorm. It's like a 17-minute video. Scrolling back right now, I have it up so I can check on doing a water change on my tub. And I'm like, who is gonna care? Yeah, who cares? And I like outline myself in this little bit. Yeah, there it is. It is at how many views? It's got like a 97%. It's 20,000 views. And that was number one for, you know, however long. So some of the most important things are the sort of like photography rules. People that take photography classes know sort of how different quadrants need to be. Some things larger than others and whatnot. That's a really big thing. I'm trying to think. Another one that I like is the big zoomed in HD. Greg's Turtle Haven does it perfectly. The super HD photo zoomed in of a turtle or whatever topic that you have or something. Sometimes that's really good where it's just one little simple like animal or whatnot. Right. So one of my recent videos was about that little hatchling. I thought, you know, was going to die. And I just held it and took my camera and zoomed in really far and just one nice little HD photo. And there's no editing, no outlining, no nothing to that. On the complete opposite side of that, I have my most recent video, which is heavily edited. It's me all outlined in purple, red arrow thrown in there, which sometimes that red arrow is your best freaking friend. Right. the text as large as you can, usually as large as you can comfortably fit, and then different cut out animals, turtles, fish, whatever that I have all around me. So that's one type that I do, is all the animals around me and then me in the middle or somewhere. Another one I like to do is like the animal here, and then my text always up in the top right. I love my text in the top right with a nice arrow that, nope, wrong way. Sorry, everything's inverted in my camera. But so, you know, you have your text up here and arrow pointing this way and my topic, subject, animal right there and a little bit of text. And like, that's one of the better things. Or like I said, just me, or really simple. My tubs versus tanks videos where it's separate, almost like a, like split in half almost. It's sort of those are sort of the different styles that things kind of fall into and which ones do better than others.
Like some I've seen, like Logan Paul starting like now with his new style, he has pretty much an HD photo. And then I'll see some people in the reptile, and you'll look up an animal room tour. And sometimes these tour thumbnails have like literally like 20 animals on the screen. And then maybe the person. I've almost seen like some of the ones like that with huge amounts of commotion to where you can't really see anything except the person and added photos of their animals do better. And then it's just really interesting.
It's finding that happy medium, you know, sometimes, or picking which one you want to go with. Go Herping is another person who does I wish I could do those nice HD thumbnails every single time. Those are my personal favorite. I love those. Sometimes they're fun to doll up and put little emojis and stupid things in them.
Yeah.
But other times they just don't do well.
Yeah. I think sometimes probably the most important key of doing the single HD photo is just getting everything you want to say to where if you were to put text in one photo. Like, that's like the hardest part, to where you have one photo, maybe an arrow at the most. Like you have to do it perfectly to where someone just from maybe looking at the title and thumbnail can get a whole view of what you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And looking back on which ones of my videos do better, I mean, now looking at it because I rarely go back in my old videos. Once I put it out, I like to forget about it and move on and go forward. But looking back, that thing in HD, it needs to have a blurry background. So that way that thing is really, really in focus. So I did that. I did that on my sick turtle video, but I didn't do that on my box turtle video, which didn't perform well at all, even though I thought that it would do well. The title is I Own the World's Rarest Box Turtle. Like, who wouldn't want to click that? Right. Apparently not many people. You know, it's still way low in views, which is, you know, that's fine. Maybe I'll do another video at some point when there's an update on him and do things differently. But
so starting to wrap it up, if you could tell your younger self one thing about creating content, just about like, you know, getting ready for the future, about what's going to happen, what would you tell yourself?
Upload consistently and commit to that day that you're going to upload, because I think that that's my biggest downfall. And that was my biggest problem, was not uploading every, you know, Monday or every day or whenever it was, because I used to go 2-4 weeks between uploads.
Right.
And that's no good for growth. You know, it's just not going to get you there. If I had uploaded once a week for the 3 years that I've been trying to do this seriously, my channel would probably be like 3 times bigger, you know? It's just keep consistent, even if it's something simple, even if it's not as well edited, because I wasn't as good at editing back then. Just get something. Something's better than nothing.
Right.
You're better off taking a shot with something than being guaranteed nothing.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. So I think the time almost for this Zoom is just about up. So thank you, Dan, for coming on today's show.
Yeah,
would you mind just letting people know out there where they can get a hold of you or watch your content?
So I'm on YouTube as Dan the Turtle Man. I'll probably show up if you type in Dan the Guppy Man, though. For a guaranteed way to get a hold of me, that's my Patreon. That's patreon.com/Dan the Guppy Man. Like I said, it's still that old link. And you message me there, that's a guaranteed response. As anybody that joins, I send them a message and say, hey, you need anything like right off the bat? Because a lot of the times people have very personal or detail-filled questions that I take my time with and answer out. Otherwise, Instagram, if you DM me on there, sometimes if I'm just hanging out in bed, kind of bored, I'll scroll through and answer people's questions. But guaranteed way is Patreon. I'm on Instagram as Dan.TheTurtleMan, and then YouTube, Dan the Turtle Man.
All right. Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, and thank you for having me.
Oh, no, perfect. Thank you for being the first guest on this show.
I'm happy to.
Of course, if you haven't already, go subscribe to Dan. And thank you all for watching and listening. If you're watching here on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and comment your thoughts about this new show. And if you guys would like to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because I will also be putting it there. It's just called the Fish Visions Podcast. And you can go subscribe to that if you have not already. And if you want to leave a 5-star review, you can feel free to. And I hope you all have an amazing day. I hope you guys learned something from Dan. And I hope you all have a great day. Peace.